at his home at Lakeville, Connecticut, June 7th, 1983.
Well, they were born in Ankrumdale. They used to call it both, I think.
Yeah.
Ankrum Lead Mines. My mother was one of seven children. My father, I think, was one of about seven, too. Father's side, there's twin boys. They're all dead except my Uncle Willis's wife, who still lives up in Philmont, and she is, must be about 90.
Mm-hmm.
They moved over here sometime around 1915 or 16.
And your mother's people were?
My mother's people lived over there. My father's homestead is what they call the pond.
Oh.
There, you know where they have that restaurant?
Oh, yes.
That was the old Card homestead.
Oh, I see. Yeah, good.
There's still Cards.
Yeah, I know there's some Cards over Millerton Way.
Yeah, they're on the other side.
Oh.
They're my grandfather's brothers.
Oh, kissing cousins, as we call it. Yeah.
But supposedly every Card in this country is related. There was only one Card that ever came to this country.
Oh.
And he came into Rhode Island back in about 1620, something like that.
Good.
And he was the only one that came, and every Card is branched down for him.
What do you say? And your mother's people, are there many around?
No. I've got about five cousins left from her side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
There again, she was born over in Ankrum, and she was a direct descendant of Chief Joseph Brandt.
That's what I understood.
Chief Mohawks. When you saw her picture.
Oh yeah, I remember
knew,
it.
Oh yeah. She looked just like an Indian.
Oh, I remember when I first came here. I didn't know anybody. I'd go home and I'd say, Don, well, I see somebody downtown. You know, this beautiful woman with black hair, and she lives near the lake. And he'd say, well, I think that's Mrs. Carr.
Yeah.
She was a handsome, that nice black hair and that coloring.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was wonderful looking.
And my two of the uncles. My Uncle Fred and Frank, they both lived with us at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And they both looked exactly like pictures you see of Chief Joseph Brandt.
And they were they down for the Kent Indians, or were they?
No.
They weren't?
They,
no.
They were Mohawk.
Mohawk.
They were, where are they down there? I don't know, begins with an S.
Yeah.
They're a different branch.
Yeah, I noticed down there by that Silver Lake, there's an Indian monument there, you know.
Yeah. That was...
I went up there one time and saw it. But I guess there was all Indian settlement around the area.
Yeah. I was born down on Farnham Road in the house that young Len Godding now lives in. I was born there in 1917. And I think I was about a year old when we left there and moved up to Hotchka School. My father went to work in the old powerhouse up there. Stoke the furnaces and like that. And when we lived down here, when he came over here, he worked for old Mr. Peabody in the livery stables, taking care of horses and like that.
You came to this house here?
No. When we moved up to Hotchkiss, we lived in what they call the old farmhouses down by Bakerfield.
Mm-hmm.
It's right this side of the old school,
mm-hmm.
or the grade school up there that they have for the children.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved down here. People bought this place in 1927. So I've lived here ever since then. They bought the place from Willis Jeffries. And the house was built over, I think, about 1874. And the land was bought from old Governor Holly. One of the stipulations that he had in the deed, that no alcoholic beverages could ever be sold on this land.
Could you drink it?
Oh, you can drink it. Oh boy, there's been plenty of that down here. But if you sold it here, the property could revert back to the original owners.
Now, how does that stand today, then?
I don't know. I don't suppose it would even hold up in court.
And that was Governor Holly's stipulation?
Yeah, yeah.
On all the land.
The original land.
Must have been
the original. And another thing that said in there, you had to maintain a good sturdy fence or hedge between our property and his on the west side. has done wrong there.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So we've always had to have a fence or something.
That, yeah,
that was for as long as he owned the adjoining property.
Yes, yeah, but now with the lake, yeah. Still you have a fence that nice.
Yeah, oh, that's just
protection. Well, that's pretty too. Yeah, that's wonderful.
But they have cars. I've had cars pulling up on the lawn.
Oh, sure. I know. And you had a brother and a sister?
Yeah, I had two brothers. My brother Fayette, he was the oldest, and Wallace, he's living out in Santa Monica. He married Marion Bartle.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, she's retired. She was a nurse. She was a nurse in the Army. And then when she got out of the Army, she married and she had two children. And she was living in California, and she went back to work out there in a veterans hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she retired from there just last year, mm-hmm. in 1982.
Wonderful.
And she's living now with her daughter out in Colorado Springs,
mm-hmm.
small town, mm-hmm. I forget what they call it now, it's part of Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm. Now, and what about school? Where'd you go to school?
I started the school in the school over... well, by the Masonic Lodge.
That
spot, you know, made mm-hmm. into the two apartments.
Oh, yes, yes. That was, that is like a school inside the way they fixed it. They left some of the... It was a two-room schoolhouse.
It was a two-room schoolhouse.
Who was the teacher, do you remember? Anybody?
When I started off over there, I had Miss Horty. Remember her?
Well, I heard the name.
She was Mrs. Fitting's sister.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
She taught the first and second grade, and third and fourth was Lila Standard.
No, I don't know that name, but good.
Yeah,
and you went up to eighth grade in that school? Or
No, we only went to the fourth grade there. Oh. Then we come down, went to school down where the post office is.
Oh, yes,
is now.
I heard this school there. And you went there to eighth grade?
Went there to, that was up to the eighth grade downstairs. Then they had the high school upstairs.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. Was any teachers you remember there?
Mrs. Eggleston.
Was Bessie Dan teacher there?
Oh, yes. Bessie was there. Yes, I had
Bessie
her.
Argel, her name would have been.
Argel, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You remember the principal?
Principal was Mr. Mosley.
Oh, you remember Henry Mosley? Yeah. A great friend of mine.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yeah. He was my best man at my wedding.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, they're great friends of mine. He's dead, but her and the daughter. Oh, yeah. Yeah, great friends of mine. Yeah.
Gosh, that's interesting.
Yeah. He was a good. Yeah. And who was in your class? Anybody?
Oh,
what was it, a big class by that time? Because I know when Bill Barnett graduated,
we had something like probably 30 something like that in our class.
But anybody then. That I know, just three or four of them? Was Paul Arkell in your class?
No, Paul. No, Paul's for me.
Oh.
Louise Bowman.
Oh, yes.
Reuben Tolliver. You wouldn't
know. No, I wouldn't. Them.
But they were a colored family that lived down Farnham Road. There was Reuben, there was four or five kids, Reuben and Minnie, and I forget their names, but I do remember Reuben, because he was, I think, electrocuted during the upstate for murder.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He
was a bad boy in the school then?
Mean.
He was bad
mean
in school?
Yeah.
Oh.
Everyone was afraid of him.
Oh, really?
Afraid of him.
Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sake. Goodness gracious. Was there discipline in those days? Were the teachers, could they spank you, wrap you?
Oh, yes,
But they can't do today.
Scars
I suppose
show.
You were a model boy?
Never.
Never?
No.
That's good. And the high school then was upstairs?
High school was upstairs. I didn't go up there, but I think, matter of fact, I don't think I went to the 8th grade there. Went to the 8th grade up at... where the grade school is now.
Oh, that's, they probably
built that.
Yeah,
and then the high school's up there, so I went to
the high school. Oh, the
high
school was there,
too? Yeah.
Oh, that's great,
so
yeah.
The high school up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, Billy Hines, Ed Markey, Catherine Decker, Virginia Kimball Carter.
Oh, yes, Mr. Mosley was a good principal, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I always heard that, everybody that,
And then when we were up there, we had Mr. Loring.
Oh, I remember him. He was just about the time I came.
Yeah,
yeah.
He was a principal.
Oh, yes, he was good, too. He lived, I don't think they were ever...
At least they had discipline out of the kids in those days.
They respected their teachers, didn't they?
That's right.
And their principal, which today is too bad.
Up there, you had Miss Holcomb, Mrs. Miner.
Oh, yes, you're Betty Miner, yeah. Yes.
And Norma Allen, Mrs. Fitz.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Terry Fitz.
Grace Crofton.
Oh, I remember her.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Not the Elizabeth Taylor.
No, is it her name was?
Was it Elizabeth Taylor?
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. She just still comes to our reunion. She was the last one.
Oh, you still have reunion?
Yeah, we're having another one in this September.
Which one will that be now?
Oh.
I shouldn't ask.
No, it's just for anyone that ever went there.
Oh, I see. Open to anybody that graduated that old school?
Well, whether they graduated or if they just went to the 7th or 8th grade.
Oh, that's great. I think it's nice to see old friends like that.
Yeah,
isn't
we're,
it?
Gosh, we got them coming from Oklahoma and Florida.
And you're going to be this summer?
In September.
Well, that's
September
wonderful, 15th. I think, yeah. Yeah, a lot of people like to come back.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's good or bad. People change.
They say you never can come back.
I know. Now, tell us something about the lake.
Well,
it certainly was different than it is now.
Oh, yeah. There was no beach like we have over there now. The beach was all big rocks, and you had to fight your way in and come out with bruised feet and toes and all that kicking those. Dave Timmons ran a good place.
He had the little concession, didn't he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The boats. But you couldn't expect him to fix the place all up. It wasn't his.
Oh, no, he just rented it.
He was making money. He leased that for, gosh, I really don't know how many years, but I know he had it back when I lived up to Hotchkiss. Every year before graduation, they'd have some kind of a water show over to Hotchkiss down on the lake.
Yeah.
And they'd have the Hotchkiss boys there doing things with canoes and have water fights and all that. And I remember he used to just put candy and soda and everything in a rowboat and row over there.
And sell it.
Tie up and sell it.
Good man.
So he'd been there for a good many years. Yeah. He had an old launch out here that he called it Thelma. I think he... I heard someplace that he'd named it after Thelma Ham.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
But it was named the Thelma.
Good.
And I don't know how much it got for a ride, but you know, we see that thing chugging around the lake. Had a little gasoline engine in it. It was a good size boat, probably old. 20 people,
oh,
something
really?
Like that.
Oh, really? You gotta have that now for people to take a ride. I suppose they wouldn't bother, no. That's great.
I have people say, why don't they rent canoes over there? People wouldn't bother with it.
Probably not. They didn't give any swimming lessons like they have now. Did they ever
cross?
No, there was
nothing like that.
You learned to swim by yourself or your family.
Yeah. No lessons of any kind. He was strictly in it for the money.
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you before, one of the things I always remembered about Dave was he had all these docks in and the water dropped way down. And he was going to move them out so they weren't so far out of the water. And he was pulling this one out. And he had on a pair of boots. And Dave always smoked a crooked stem pipe.
Oh.
And he always had that in his mouth. And his foot slipped, and I can see him yet. He just fell over backwards. And the only thing he could see was that pipe sticking out of the water. He never got that wet. Everything, face went right under and all, but he didn't get his pipe wet.
He didn't get his, save that, yeah.
Save his pipe.
Were there a lot of fishermen used to come from out of town like they do now?
Oh, yes.
Always
yeah.
have been.
Yes, back, I think in the early 30s, the state started dumping rainbow trout in out here.
Oh, I see.
And no one realized that they were in here.
Oh.
And they kept dumping them in and dumping them in. And all of a sudden, people be out there fishing, they're getting these big rainbow trout. And it would be nothing to go out there early in the morning. I used to have pictures of my brother Fayette and a friend of his, Poughkeepsie, George Birch, with fish that they come in with. They'd go out there early in the morning and be in here 9 o'clock. They both have their limit of 5 trout, and they weigh up to 5 pounds apiece.
Good heavens. That's wonderful.
But the word got around, and boy, they really started coming in here then. That didn't take them long to clean them
out. No. They were in trouble with all that algae and all that, now were they?
No, you're out there fishing, you got thirsty, you just take a cup of your hands and get some water and drink it, but I wouldn't dare do that now.
Oh, no, that's too bad, isn't it? Yeah. Of course, it wasn't as populated then as it is now.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. They put sewer a little ways around the lake, and they're never going to have a decent lake till they get it all the way around.
Sure, right, yeah.
Because everything around here drains right in the lake. It isn't raw sewage, but it's the nutrients going in, and that's what stimulates all the growth in there.
Oh, sure. It's too bad, isn't it, really? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen over there. Well, what about Main Street? What was that like?
Oh, gosh.
A lot of changes.
Oh, all kinds of changes. I remember when there used to be First National. That's where they're rebuilding the Lakeville Cafe now, where Ronnie Berry was. There was Grand Union.
Yeah, that's right.
And there was an A&P down where the Gulf Station is now.
Yeah, that's where Ralph Flyer was manager one time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then there was Boardman's store at the top of the hill in the old Holly Block.
Now you can't even get a quart of milk.
You can't buy
a loaf of bread. And
you can't
even
go down the street someplace and get a cup of coffee.
I know. And still, you know, there wasn't those supermarkets in those days.
That's
you had
right.
to shop locally. But
that's
it's too
right.
bad in a way because you have
I
to
know.
Run now. You
have had to run to Millerton or Canaan or Salisbury.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad. Yeah.
But there's big changes. I don't know if it's good better or not. But anyway.
And then at one time, didn't the railroad have a...
Yeah, railroad ran right through, right in front of the house.
Yes, I remember that when I first came.
Yeah, and I used to be able to get a train here, go to Poughkeepsie or Hartford, Albany, any place.
It came through every day?
Yeah.
It was C&E Railroad, was it?
It was New York and Haven and Hartford.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It started out
C&E. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now they're, all the tracks are gone.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when they ripped up the tracks, they ripped them up from here to Millerton and up towards Hillsdale and all the track over New York State. The fellows that did that stayed here at the house.
Oh.
I had quite a crew of them. They were a hard bunch to them. I mean, nice guys, but
yeah.
I mean, they were rough because they had rough work to
do. Oh, yeah,
all the
sure,
time.
And going all over doing that kind of work. And who ran the freight station in that
building? Milo Martin. Milo Martin and Tom Martin were in there.
Oh, was Tom Martin his father?
No, he was a brother.
Tom.
Wasn't a brother or uncle or something?
Oh, I think of Milo. Tom Martin lived now up there near, not the Kane House, but the one
on this side. Yeah,
I think they were Milo Martin's father and he were brothers. That's weren't they?
That might be.
I think so. I remember that old Miss when I first came to town. Oh, and those two worked the railroad.
Yeah, they worked down there, and then when they, I guess when they were closing up the line here. I think Tom retired. Didn't Milo go up and work at Hotchkiss?
Yes, in his later years he did go to Hotchkiss.
Yeah, he went up there.
But all the freight came in here for, I suppose, all the stores.
Yeah.
For heaven's sakes. Mm-hmm.
Used to be busy.
Yeah, used to be quite a, things are different now. It comes in by automobile.
Matter of fact, Johnny Clark worked for that crew. He helped tear up that line.
Johnny Clark?
Yeah, Gert Clark's husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? For heaven's sakes. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, he said, too, that was hard.
Oh, I imagine, I think he was a young fellow then. Yeah, for goodness sake, yeah. And what they had down the ball field, did you play any baseball?
I didn't play, but they used to have, this time of year, golly, they had Twilight Leagues, and there was a ball game going on down there about every night. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't get in 9 innings, but they'd get in 5, 6 innings,
something
like that.
Yeah, something to do, and I suppose Sunday they had a game, didn't they?
Had a game and a big crowd.
Yeah, well, there's nothing else to do with
that's right. No television.
And no cars. We didn't have cars that many to run around all over the creation.
And back then, they didn't have the money.
No, right. Mm-hmm.
Remember Saturday nights, we'd go over to Northern Brick Block, and maybe between 4 or 5 of us, we'd scrape enough money to get a couple of pitchers of beer. That was it.
The old brick block was bad. That old brick building. That's too bad. That
that was a fun place.
Yeah,
well, they all were over there. Yeah. Sharkies, Mannings. You could always go over there on a Saturday night and have fun. You didn't have to get in trouble.
Oh no, just somewhere to go and talk. And like people go up to the White Hart and sit around
and
talk.
That's
They need something.
No drugs, nothing like that. Then we just go and sit around.
And have fun.
Have a couple of beers and have fun. Be home 12, 1 o'clock.
Yes. I remember how they used to sit down in front of the old Dewport.
Sit on the bank there across the road.
Yeah, and even on the stoop there.
Waiting
for
Paul to come back and get a haircut.
That was the only way you could get a haircut, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In Paul Argyle's place. Or Chet Thurston for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, Chet. Bill Judd.
Oh, they were together, were they, Chet Thurston?
No, Al White used to work with Chet Thurston.
You mean there were three barbers in those days?
We had four.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Sure, we had Bill Judd. He's, that building is gone now, but that was between Fern Campbell's and where Morris Brickman's store was. That set in there. Dolph Bauman had his offices in there, too.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And Bill Judd's part was facing, it was on the right, it was like an addition on there. And Paul Argle, when we first started cutting hair, he worked in there with Bill Judd.
Oh, that's where he liked the business? Mm-hmm.
Paul used to cut my hair when I lived up to Hotchkiss.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I cut it all the time he was here and I was here.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Kind of missed him.
Yeah, I know, at the old time. You were always good friends, too, weren't
you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess they're coming up again.
Yeah. And then, where did you work after you got out of high school? Did you go to Hotchkiss and work?
No. I worked in the First National.
Oh.
I worked in the vegetable and meat department. And, oh boy, they were a cheap outfit then. They wouldn't pay you anything. You're working there for 50, 60 hours a week for $15, $20. And they always wanted a little bit more, so... this was about, I think, 41. I was working down there, and the superintendent came around one day, and he started chewing about something, and I just took off my apron and gave him, he says, here, you can have it. So I just come on home, and my brother Fayette wasn't working then, so I said, let's go down to Waterbury and get a job, make some money. So he says, okay. So we went down, we saw Jimmy Du Bois's brother.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He had with the Waterbury Brass or something?
Scoble
Brass, yeah, I remember him.
He was personnel manager.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So we went in to see him. Looked after that job, making decent money.
And did you commute every day? Or?
We did for a while, but then it got to be too much.
We had to get up here.
We had to be at work at 7 in the morning.
I know.
So we had to get up here around 4:30 or so.
I know, yeah.
So we finally took a room down there.
Oh, I didn't know you were there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I lived on 47 Prospect Street, an apartment house there. I had a room with a woman, her name was Mrs. Goodrich, and she had a daughter and her husband who was a retired railroad man. And that's the place that this Puerto Rican torch down there that burned 14 people.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I lived there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, just recently.
Yeah.
I remember reading that in the paper. Yeah. Oh, for heaven's sake.
He torched that. Burned down the two of them right next to each other.
For heaven's sake.
It was a nice apartment when I was there.
Then how many years were you there before you...
Oh, I was only there about a year. And then one day I got through work. This was after Pearl Harbor, and I went up to the post office and joined the Navy.
Oh, you were in the Navy then.
So then I spent about 4 years in the Navy. I went to Great Lakes for my training. And after I got through that, went down to Norman, Oklahoma for school. I went to Aviation Ordnance School. And when I graduated from there, they kept me on. I was an instructor out there for 2.5 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was on the North Base. My brother Fayette, he was a flyer. He was on the South Base.
Oh, I didn't know he was a flyer, but I never knew you were, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So,
did you get overseas flying? Or?
No, I didn't fly. I was
you're an instructor.
I was an instructor in aviation ordnance. That's guns and bombs and all that.
Yeah.
So when I left there, I went to St. Louis. I was there for a couple of months. And from there, we went to San Francisco. We got on what they called an LSD. It was a landing ship dock. It was one of those things that was all open in the middle, and they wanted to take a boat or something aboard. They'd sink the thing, run it in, and then just pump the water out and raise it up. So we went out on that, and then when I got out there, I went with Squadron BF-93. That was a fighter squadron, and I was aboard the carrier Boxer.
Mm.
And the war ended just when I was going out.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, just
Well,
no, I'm going to say it's good.
Didn't want to shoot them.
Yeah, I know,
anyway.
Right, yeah.
So I spent about 8 months aboard the Boxer, and we were out in the Pacific, and I I got over to Japan and over to China,
yeah.
All the islands down through there, Guam, Saipan.
You've seen them all then, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I never realized that.
This is interesting.
And then the war is over and you got out, huh?
Yeah.
Come back to Lakeville?
Come back to Lakeville.
Picked up your life again, huh?
Picked up my life again. Felt kind of lonesome. Then I met writing to Sandy.
Oh, yeah, you met her. She was from the West.
She was out in Oklahoma. I met her in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
She was worked on Will Rogers Air Force Base out there.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she worked as a hostess too in
Salvation
Army.
Oh, yeah,
USO,
they used to have
so
those,
in there.
Yeah, those recreation centers for the officers and men. Mm-hmm.
So when the war was over, she left there and she went out to Oregon.
Oh.
Out to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
With a girl, two girl friends.
Mm.
And the one was from Portland, so they stayed with her parents for a while, and then they took an apartment on their own. So let's say I got lonesome, so I asked her to marry me, and she said, sure enough.
Came back to Lakeville. That's good. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Never regretted it.
No.
Maybe she has, but
no,
I
don't think so. No, I think so. Okay.
Select man that I first remember was Abe Martin. He was select man till he died, and then Bill Barnett took over. And then Charlotte Reed, and that's the only three that I remember.
Oh, yeah, Abe Martin was for many years, too.
Oh, he was a lot of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything was done out of his garage down there.
I remember when I came to town, he was in his last days, but
yeah.
I mean, everything was run from him. He had no office.
No office.
He was good, though, I guess, to people. They say,
they didn't have a job and needed money, they went down to see Abe.
Yeah, it was very good, I understood, yeah.
They used to have the town home. That's up where the school is.
Yeah, that's right. They used to have the town home up there. And Ed Stanton ran that, didn't he?
Ed Stanton. Yeah, and before him, they were usually the janitor at the school, too. Charlie Whitford?
Yeah. But they didn't have any welfare those days, so the people went up there to live.
The old people, they'd go up there to live.
Ed Stanton and his wife did the cooking and took care of them, didn't they? I remember,
did a good job,
too. Yeah, I remember it was up there when I first came. Yeah, things are different now, aren't they?
So.
Well, did you always go to the Methodist Church, your people? Or?
I have. Mm-hmm. My mother did, too. My mother was really an Episcopalian. When she died, she was buried with an Episcopalian service I had, Reverend Kiara.
Oh, yes, I know.
And, but there again, the branches back to Chief Joseph Brant. He started the first Episcopalian church in Canada.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Yeah.
He was quite a boy.
Yeah, you hear a lot about him,
yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's very interesting. I've read a lot about him.
Oh, I would think you'd be very proud. That's great.
Another thing that dates back to my mother's side is a fellow that they call Black Brent. Have you heard of him?
Oh, yes, yes.
Black Brent over in Boston Corners?
Yes.
He's the one who put on the Morrissey bare knuckle fight over there that time.
Oh, yes, Sullivan, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a book at the library that Sandy had, and I thought it was great, and there's a marker.
Yeah.
On that old road, and it says, the Sullivan fight.
Yeah, that's right.
But
yeah.
It isn't that big Sullivan, it's the other. Yeah. Oh, I read that book, and it's everybody should read that book.
Yeah,
it's really
that's
something.
That's some of my mother's relatives.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they had that big, in hotel or tavern there.
Black grocery and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But this
gang, they brought horses from Saratoga and colored them and sent them through. I had some cave over there, and they got up to Egmont somewhere up there.
Yeah.
I don't know where that cave is. Every time I go by, I always say, wonder where that cave is.
That's probably all overgrown or caved in or something.
Those were days, weren't they?
Yeah. I remember Sandy was reading the book one night. She was sitting in there. She'd read for a while. She'd look up at me. She wouldn't say anything. And then she'd start reading again. And finally, she looked that up to me. She says, is this something your relatives? I said, yes.
What was the name again?
Black Brant.
Yeah, Black Brant, yes. That was a regular little center there then, oh, the Boston Corners. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
And New York State didn't want it, and it was really part of Massachusetts.
Yeah,
and they didn't want
it. Yeah, I know. It was sort of a no man's land,
yeah,
wasn't it,
yeah,
for a while?
It was.
It was really an outlet. But that everybody should read that book. I mean, I hope they never, you know, lose track of it, because I got Patty and everybody to read it.
Yeah.
And I interviewed John Rand when. Not John, Rudd, and I said, well, you've got to read that book. If you never read it, that everybody should read that
yeah.
book. That was something, wasn't it?
Okay. It was.
Yeah.
I tried to get a copy of it.
You can, and I guess you can. I don't know how, because I know this one's been, rebound and rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. And now you have two children.
Yeah, I've got two boys, Carlton and Dennis. Carlton's the oldest. Carlton lives up in Saugus, and he's the buyer for Holt Warehouse Hardware Outlet. It's a group of brothers and an uncle, I think. And they've got one up in Boston, and they've just opened a new one down in New York City. And they have another place down in Waterbury. And they sell hardware wholesale.
Oh, yeah.
You or I couldn't go
and
buy
it. No, but the plumbers and people like that.
Well,
yeah.
Like community service,
yes,
they can
that's what
do
I mean,
that
yeah.
by.
Big stores, yeah. Big companies,
yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Of course, I tell them I need something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Naturally. It's only right. Yeah.
No, but he does all the buying for them. It's
good.
Everything is done on computers. They,
yeah.
All their ordering and...
Yeah.
Every sale and everything is entered in a computer, so
yeah.
It's time to reorder, something just pops
and
up.
And you know just how many you have in stock and
that's
all
right.
That. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
so he's counting in paperwork,
that.
Doesn't it? And
yeah.
The other one is?
Dennis. He works for an electronics concern, the name of Teradyne. He's got a good job in him. He's been going all over the world. He goes over to Japan.
That's great.
He's been over to Europe, and he's got to go to Japan again in about another month.
Wonderful,
so.
Yeah.
He enjoys it.
Yeah, and he married a local girl?
He married Peggy Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a little girl.
Yes, yeah, very nice, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Our first granddaughter.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
She is a little sweetie. She was down all last week in Old Red.
Yeah, oh yeah, how was he?
He came home today.
Okay.
So...